geez. Our first show.
This is our first show. Yes. Well, welcome to what are we calling this?
We don't have a name. We're looking for a name for our show right now. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Brian Keller.
And we are a nameless show about that does the recap of what's hot in technology for the week for developers.
That's right. So every week we'll be taking our picks and bringing you a little bit of what we think is cool, what we think is interesting in the developer world, and maybe a grab bag of some other stuff as well, and just throwing it out there for you guys to take a look at.
Yeah, we got a full show today.
That's right. So jump right in here.
Yeah, let's get started. So we had a launch of MSDN Code Gallery.
Yep.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. So MSDN Code Gallery launched at code.msdn.microsoft.com. Why this is cool is it actually uses the same engine as CodePlex. So that means instead of my sample being up in, say, some place where I couldn't track, I couldn't file bugs, everything's in there and you can actually have people have discussions about it, have multiple releases, target a different framework, whatever. And it's got a wiki as well.
So this is sort of the evolution of what used to be .NET code samples, right?
Right.
So, and the fact that it's on CodePlex means that behind the scenes, it's Team Foundation Server, right?
Yes.
It's my product. Got to give a shout out to that.
Yeah, much love, much love.
Yep.
Now, the cool thing is, because it's the exact same code base, you're going to be searching across both as well.
Oh,
right?
That's awesome. I didn't even know that.
So I can find cool samples on both of those, and it uses the same tagging system. So it's
nice.
All integrated. And give a shout out to Greg Duncan of Cool Thing of the Day .blogspot, which is a great blog to find cool things.
Nice, good work. Sorry, I almost called him Duncan, the man with two first names, right? Greg Duncan.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So so check out Code Gallery. Now, Jason Olson earlier this week recorded an application compatibility video.
Okay.
So this is Chris Jackson and Gov Maharaj. It's Gove. He always writes his emails. Like, you'll find him on internal aliases. People know him just because that, like, in his address it says Gove rhymes with stove.
Ah.
Except he started putting, like, random things like Gove rhymes with orange. And it, like, totally threw people off.
Nice.
All right, so here's a quick clip.
67%
Chris talking
of all the
about
applications that caused an application crash that was reported. When you say, hey, do you want to tell Microsoft, and it goes into our Watson database. 67% of those would have been found if the developer of that software had run App Verifier before they shipped their code. Right? That's how we come up with the ideas of what other tests we need to add, is what mistakes are people consistently making that are causing apps to crash? Because no one likes our apps to crash.
Right.
I remember this one time where an app...
So here's a Gove talking about an actual customer.
A particular implementation of safety.
And some of the compact bugs they had.
Relied on having kernel 32 based at a particular address, and NTDLL had to be above that address. So if kernel 32, we do optimizations all the time, you know, each new OS, nobody's supposed to depend on base addresses.
Especially now that we mix it up with every OS.
Yeah,
exactly.
So what happened was we changed the order. We said, okay, we'll load kernel 32 above NTDLL. It was a better optimization. Well, we found that safe disk broke because they were actually checking to see what the offset was of a particular API in kernel 32 and then doing a backtrack to NTDLL to make sure that they were in a particular range to make sure that they weren't being hacked or intercepted because, of course, you know, they're copy protection. They do a lot of strange things in the OS to make sure that everything is the way that they expect. That one took... good week to actually figure out that they were doing something like that. And we actually had to change the entire build process to say that no, NTDLL will always be above kernel 32 and their base addresses will always be within this particular range.
So cool stuff there.
Oh yeah, 2/3 of all bugs could have been fixed by running App Verifier, right?
Yeah, 67%. So he said the numbers were slightly outdated, but all you had to do was run that, and all these compat stuff, like, they already know about the bugs.
Sure. I mean, even if it was 1/3 of bugs, that would be impressive, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really cool. So check out that full video on Channel 9 if you get a chance.
Yeah, exactly. And App Verifier's a free download.
Nice. Good interview, Jason.
All right. So I got to give shout-outs to Pavel Bansky at bansky.net/blog. So got to show... This is a cool use of the .NET Micro framework. And let's see if we can actually get video running here. is pulling directly from the internets. So this is Tetris in the .NET framework, micro framework. So what's cool about this is you can see kind of his thumb here. Tiny. This device is absolutely tiny.
Oh, yeah.
And he did some cool things even with the code because you can't have multi-dimensional arrays, so doing X and Y, he did it with byte matrix. So cool use of .NET on the micro framework.
Nice. Hey, did he make the source code available for this?
Yeah.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah, so this is, it's actually been a great week for, like, gamers.
Oh, yeah.
There's been a lot of stuff. So on the small side, we'll get to some of those as well. Okay, so another cool thing is the we're starting to talk about the next version of what's called Dev 10 or some of the things for future focus, which is Charlie Calvert and Mads Torgersen from the C Sharp team talking about what's coming in the future. So they have a specific tag here. You can check out Charlie's blog. But the call out here is something called dynamic lookup. What it does actually lets you, it's basically adding a dynamic lookup, a feature that developers are familiar with in dynamic languages, to C Sharp. So, like, C Sharp is becoming, a very dynamic language, or cherry-picking its dynamic languages. And you see VB, even in VB 2008, becoming really dynamic as a language as well.
What does that mean for the layman? Come on, help me out of here.
It means, you know,
it's dynamic marketing, guys.
Yeah, that's great. It wears cool shirts.
Okay.
It's, so the cool part is, one of the pains, at least using C Sharp for Office, mm-hmm. Comm Interop, was a real pain because you had to actually do method signatures of like 20 items to like add a new spreadsheet. You'd have to create each item and create new objects that are like placeholder objects, even though you don't care. Well, the same equivalent code in VB was, I didn't have to worry about newing up fake variables just to create something. When the only thing I'm passing in is like the spreadsheet name.
Okay, so you're talking about basically the late binding.
Late binding.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Right. Sorry, I'll talk Brian now.
All right.
Yeah, so want to talk about our next one?
Yeah, so this is an interview that you did, actually, with April Reagan. Reagan?
We don't know.
We don't know. With April. Hi, April. Sorry to botch your name. Anyway, with April, where she's basically talking about some of the improvements in the next generation of MSDN library help. And so this is based on a Think Week paper that she wrote to... Think Week is a thing that happens every year where any Microsoft employee can write a paper which gets circulated amongst Bill Gates and some of the other executives as well. And she basically had a lot of big ideas around improving MSDN library and making it possible for you to, in the future, do things like synchronize the version of MSDN library that exists on the server down to the version of MSDN library that exists on your developer desktop, so you don't have to worry about doing any installs every time we ship a new version of the MSDN library. What else? Am I forgetting any other big improvements there?
Yeah, so the other cool part is talking about what they could do for the client experience as well,
mm-hmm.
right? So imagine the New York Times reader, a WPF reader, so you get like a really nice, super fast, highly performant library that's just like a pleasure to read as opposed to...
The MSDN library is already fun to read, let's be honest, but it could be even more fun, right?
It's a real page turner, let me tell you. Especially the beta docs where it's just placeholder here.
Oh, those are, I love those.
Man.
Whew. Yeah.
Good times.
All right.
All right, so another cool thing, this is a handy tip, Sean Burke.
Mm-hmm.
So Sean Burke, and this is cool in that we released the source code for everything as a reference license. So that means people have always been complaining, hey, I want to be able to debug the .NET framework. The problem is the CLR, it's not my code.
Sure.
You can actually now step into .NET framework code.
Now we announced this. Scott Guthrie announced this several months ago. Now, what is different
right
here?
So the tip here is the optimization. So what would happen is, and I think we got a little screenshot here. So it's a little command file, and you can just copy this from Sean's blog. The problem is, by default, Visual Studio would load the JIT optimized version of the CLR. So what the command file does is it basically runs devenv and sets some command line parameters so that it won't run the pre-jitted CLR. So what that means is, if you can see the little exclamation marks where you can't actually get information about the type or the actual value, mm-hmm. instead, once you run this and disable engine, you can actually see all the information about it, and the little exclamation marks go away.
Nice. So go to Sean's blog to read more, right?
Yeah, Sean's blog to read more. Really handy if you're looking to debug the reference source code and you're asking what the deuce is happening.
I say that all the time.
Yes, yes.
Oh, good old Joel. What's Joel up to this week?
So Joel Spolsky, ex-Microsoft, he had a pretty humorous thing. It's the, here's how Microsoft says SQL Server 2008 will be late. So you want to try and read this?
Okay, so this is an announcement that we put out.
Yeah, this is from an actual Microsoft blog.
Okay, let's see here. SQL Server 2008 now shipping Q3 2008. We want to provide clarification on the roadmap for SQL Server 2008. Okay, that's good. Over the coming months, customers and partners can look forward to significant product milestones for SQL Server. All right. Microsoft is excited to deliver a feature-complete CTP during the Heroes Happen Here launch wave and a release candidate RC in Q2 calendar year 2008 with a final release to manufacturing of SQL. We need the Micro Machine guy to get through this.
Seriously. So the very top title, this is me summarizing it. They didn't even include this. Like, you really had to, like, read through and find out what it is. So basically, SQL Server 2008, they'll have bits for the launch event, and people don't even know what Heroes Happen Here launch event is, but it is a new website for our launch. Mm-hmm. Another great one is Phil Factor, who did this entire, like, this parody of a Microsoft kid turning in a report card. Or no, it was a book report on, and he was turning it late, and it was like, we're really excited with the quality of the book report.
Nice.
It was absolutely hilarious, so definitely check out Phil's blog about this. And, you know, this is a product manager that did this, and I sort of feel the pain, especially
We've
when the community goes there. You know, some history. What were you originally?
I was a J Sharp product manager when I first joined Microsoft, so I know nothing about having to message tough problems here. So
yeah, J Sharp. That wasn't controversial at all.
Yeah, moving on. What's next here?
Yeah, so how'd that turn out?
Right.
So TFS, huh?
Yeah, Team Foundation Server rocks.
Yeah, so I think the problem was actually, you know, we try and find the right people for the right job, and I think we actually made a mistake in hiring an intern, Miss Teen South Carolina, to be...
Bless her heart.
Yeah, the SQL Server 2008 spokesperson. We should get her to actually do it. Like, if I was the SQL guys, I'd be like, listen, we need you to go through and be, like, our official PR people.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
For, like, every event from now on, just, you know.
Have we been fired yet? By the time this goes live, we probably won't be back in the building. So this was our last episode. We hope you liked it.
Yeah, there's no doubt we're fired.
Yep.
So shout-outs to the product managers on SQL. We feel your pain.
But it's coming soon. Lots of milestones.
Yeah. And some of the cool stuff... frankly, we could probably put her video where she tries to explain map stuff. Mm-hmm. SQL Server 2008 adds geolocations. So, like, you could literally use sound clips from hers. We should have done that.
Nice. Nice.
And, you know, anyways. So, some pretty cool stuff for programming geospatial info coming in SQL Server. Okay, so Scott Guthrie.
Yeah, you conducted another interview with Scott himself this week.
Yeah, I know. Scott is the hardest working man in show business. So this first part was IS7. Mm-hmm. So he talks about some of the things around hosting and the things that they did to improve scalability. So
let's go to the clip.
Let's go to the clip.
So what have we done specifically to make hosters' life better?
I'd say there's a couple of things. One is on scalability. IIS has always had great scalability in terms of what we call throughput. So in other words, the number of requests per second you can process in a given time. And so for enterprise apps or for servers that are hosting hundreds or maybe 1,000 applications, you know, that's great. Sometimes, though, in shared hosting environments, you want to be able to host, you know, thousands of applications, you know, 5,000, 6,000.
On a single box.
On a single box.
Right.
And from a management perspective, IIS historically has not kind of scaled to that level. You know, the admin tool can't open, you know, with 5,000 sites registered. You got to do it with scripting. We don't have all the scripting APIs and all the scripting hooks you know, as easy as we'd want them to, and like just the startup time and shutdown of the server with 4,000 or 5,000 sites takes longer than we'd like. And so, you know, with IS7, I think you can register 5,000 sites now from scratch, like register them on a clean machine. I think that's like 2 seconds or 3 seconds.
Oh wow! So how many total sites could a hoster have on? Do you have some?
We test up to 20,000 sites on a box.
Okay.
With acceptable performance for shutdown, startup, as well as just overall box maintenance. So I mean that is a lot of load. Typically, people don't put that many sites on a box, but that's the type of load that we're testing and making sure you can do.
All right.
Sweet. Yeah.
Exciting stuff there.
Some crazy hosting numbers that they probably have to put through and really taking IIS7 to the max. So second clip just went up today. This is Scott talking about him building the ASP.NET calendar control. So this has always been a rumor.
From experience that he actually built the pre-render and the HTML.
Yeah. So this is him talking about. 10 years or 11 years.
These are the rumors that we hear that rumors. it was on some flight, and by the time you landed, you had it done.
Calendar control is interesting for ASP.NET because it's deceptively hard as to all the support. You know, and it's a great example of kind of for the post-spec model, a lot of the challenges and a lot of the things that we did in order to enable it. The classic problem is like, you know, how do you select a date? How do you page back and forth between dates? How do you flip into month mode versus day mode?
Right.
You know, how do you stylize and templatize what each cell looks like? You know, once you start going into all those types of scenarios, there's a lot of actual controls infrastructure you need to enable. And doing a calendar by hand, especially if it doesn't support JavaScript or doesn't support AJAX, which, you know, when we built the first calendar control in ASP.NET, you know, browsers for the most part back in IE3, IE4 days didn't really support JavaScript well at all.
Right.
You know, that's hard to do and manage yourself. So, calendar is an interesting example.
It'd be funny to, you know, I wonder if that's like his interview question. Like, you walk into his office and he's probably what's called the as app, the as appropriate.
As appropriate, sure.
Yeah, so when you do interviews, you have multiple levels, then eventually, if people don't hate you, they send you to the as appropriate, and he'll just be like, "All right, go to the whiteboard and let's see if you can build the ASP calendar control."
Do you think that's how he got the code in the first place? Just asking some poor interview candidate.
I wonder how many people do that to just like.
Thanks for the contribution. Yep.
Yeah. So build a business model around advertising.
We'll see you in 3 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Be careful, interview candidates. Yeah. You know.
Yes.
Also, I think is great about this video is the racing stripes that I see in the background. Actually, I can see your head in the reflection.
Yes.
And I can see that. You know. The silver distinction in your hair there.
Oh, thank you. That's
just
wonderful.
That out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. How's your
Easter
hair doing?
Egg.
Yeah,
oh,
how's
a,
that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bald is beautiful, baby.
Cool. Yeah, great. Perfect.
Moving on.
Yeah, let's
HTML
editor let's
control.
Move on.
Please.
Let's.
Please. So, can I tell the story? All right. So
go for it.
Dan and I have been friends for a long time, right? And friends. But we have a lot of back and forth in the office. And
I'm just gonna squeeze this to okay.
So this week I get a friend request on Facebook from Dan's wife. We'll call her Angie, because that's her name. And she sends me a friend request, and I accept it, naturally. And, you know, what's the first thing I do? I poke her, right? You know, because that's what you do on Facebook. And that's the most amorphous kind of action you can perform on Facebook. It could mean that I'm trying to pick a fight with her. In this case, it means I'm in love with her. But Dan got upset with that for some reason, and
I don't want you bragging to people about how you tried to poke my wife on Facebook.
Well,
I don't think that you know.
Anyway, Dan decides to change his status to what did you say? Giving me the evil eye
giving
or something?
Giving me the evil.
So it's been one of those weeks between Dan and I. So if we can get through the rest of the show, that'll be great.
Yeah, yeah. So,
so getting back to the HTML editor control.
Well, you know what the next logical thing is after that to get. So
of course. Good,
so yeah.
Good
so
segue.
Always fun with Facebook. So one of the things we didn't cover, actually, just while we're on the topic of Facebook, is they released a JavaScript library for Facebook.
Oh, nice.
Which is,
somehow missed that.
Yeah, it's which is pretty
poking your wife, I guess.
Yeah. Who isn't? One of the best things about being married is you got to make sure always introduce your wife as your first wife.
Oh, of course.
Even if you're married, that's just, they love that. They love that. So,
so JavaScript, Facebook, staying on point.
Yeah, so there's a tool by Nikhil Kothari called ScriptSharp. And what it does, it actually converts managed code into JavaScript libraries. So it turns out they actually did exactly that. They used ScriptSharp to create their JavaScript APIs, which is pretty badass.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So you can find out more about that on Nikhil's blog and play with the JavaScript APIs. Which is a smart move. JavaScript is the number one language.
Sure.
So it beats...
next to J Sharp, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, all five customers are, you know...
We're up to 10 now.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Doubled?
Yeah. Yeah, hey.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
They paid me the big bucks for it.
Wow, wow. So how many friends and family are you enrolling in there? So?
I really want to talk about this HTML over control. Seriously.
We're not going to get to it. And Popfly had a JavaScript API that we had done before, so it's interesting seeing some of the same stuff.
Okay.
So HTML control. Speaking of JavaScript, Eric Williams, this is on Code Project, great site. Let's say I have a website, I'm creating my own blog, mm-hmm. I want people to write comments, but I want them to write rich comments. This does everything. And open source, bold, italics, underline. It's got design view, HTML view. Super cute.
Nice.
This is awesome.
And it's on Code Project, so all the code's available, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and he walks through this stuff, how to do it. So super high ratings on Code Project as well. So
nice.
Awesome and project, Eric.
Who wrote Eric? Sorry, what was his name?
Eric Williams.
Eric Williams. Nice job, Eric.
Winthusiasm.com. This is... this is Richard Hale Shaw.
Interviewed by Josh Holmes.
And this is him talking about what excites him on C# 3.0.
What gets you excited in the morning? What brings you to the table to write code and program?
I'd say one of the things that I get excited about today, especially, is using Link and using C# 3.0.
So Link and C# 3.0.
Yeah. Link, on the one hand, because a lot of routine things that you have done in the past with routine .NET development just becomes elegant and much more expressive. It takes on almost a feeling like you're doing something like art, you know, because you feel like you're able to say what you want to say very succinctly in a way that anybody can look at it, now, provided they have to understand the syntax and all that, because that's new. But once they have digested the syntax, could easily understand what you're trying to accomplish and that you're doing it with far less work than you would have to have done in the past.
So Richard Hale Shaw, he actually works for the Richard Hale Shaw Group. Talk about a coincidence, huh?
And I think that might be the first dog featured on a Channel 9 interview, unless I'm forgetting.
You can throw in some insult joke?
No. Queued it up for you if you'd like.
No. We love people.
Yeah.
Okay. So Richard Hale Shaw actually is on the C# SDR team. So he has seen Link go through its paces when it was originally came out.
So SDR being
Strategic Design Review. It's the mm-hmm. folks that, you know, we got to get the top folks across multiple disciplines in
very early into the planning stages.
Super
tell
early.
Us what they think about, you know, Link, but 3 years ago, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. So he's certainly seen a lot of this stuff go and given direct feedback, and he does some training stuff. So
nice.
Good interview. Now, this is always some fun stuff, and especially with the dynamic language runtime. So MSDN Magazine wrote create your own .NET language compiler. So I had to put this in here, which is there's another language, Brain F, but I didn't want to put Brain F there because, you know, it's named Brain F. But this is my second favorite esoteric language called Ooksharp. So, actually, I think one of those periods should be an exclamation mark.
I don't know why you call it esoteric, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
This seems pretty practical.
This is Hello World in Ooksharp. So,
is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That prints Hello World. Which you can't read that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that's an exclamation mark.
I'm not actually sure if that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah,
but,
I don't think you should try to compile this one.
Yeah.
The other one is LOL code.
LOL code, yes.
Can I has cheeseburger, all that. So I could write my own LOL
yes,
code.
Yes. So this week, everybody was in this building for lang.net.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who wrote LOL code was actually here. So
should have had him on the show.
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
Son of a...
We don't think about these things in advance.
Charles has some great videos coming next week.
Oh, good.
On
good.
Language folks. So, Mikhail Takaza and a couple others. I don't want to ruin anything.
No. Stay tuned.
So, so you want to build your own language. Actually, see how to take statements, like starting off with a simple print statement, mm-hmm. right into IL. Go to town. Write your own language.
There you go.
Cool stuff. Oh, and the .NET Languages is the resource for seeing all the languages available, like Ooksharp and BrainF.
Of course.
Okay, you see, another gaming story this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so speaking of Miguel,
mm-hmm.
Second Life in Mono. So Second Life, a popular massive, it's not actually an MMO, I think it's more virtual reality.
It's just like my real life, but I can fly. Right, as Dwight would say.
Right, in that nobody's in your home and nobody's buying your t-shirts, yes.
Well, yeah, details.
Awkward. So, here's the cool thing is they're actually replaced their own scripting engine with Mono. So there's a scripting language called Linden Scripting Language, LSL. And now LSL is running on Mono. So the goal there is developers can manipulate the Second Life world mm-hmm. using LSL. And now that's going to be running on the Mono framework on Linux.
Nice.
Across all of their servers. So cool part is, you know, I'm a .NET developer, VB, C#, mm-hmm. sure, that's my bag, baby. In the future, they could enable any language you want. Right, so like I'm a VB developer,
yeah.
I could actually manipulate Second Life in VB. Spit out, open up VB Express, do my little thing, download whatever their DLL wrapper is, and go to town.
You know what I'm thinking, of course.
What are you thinking?
J#, Second
J
Life.
J#, that's yeah. right, wow. You are totally gonna have 1 to 2 more customers.
Yes.
Wow. So, check out the Mono project page for more details here. Or, sorry, the Wiki Second Life page for more details on their Mono implementation. And once they actually get their stuff up and running, we'll show some demos.
Nice. Okay, so it's time for a segment we call
yes!
Pick of the Week.
Woo!
This is my pick of the week. We've got basically Rock Band.
Oh.
Been really into the drums lately. Beat about half the songs on Expert, so I know I'm not quite as good as everyone out there, but I'm coming along. And I was talking to my roommate, who is a musician, recently about, you know, Rock Band's great, but the drums are still kind of video game-ish, kind of toyish. So wouldn't it be great if you had a real drum set that you could actually play on that actually fed back into Rock Band? And so as it turns out, our On 10 camera crew was down at CES, and they were looking at exactly that. So let's roll the
yeah,
clip.
Yeah, so this is Nick Fillingham. Happy to have Nick on the team. And this is him talking to the guys from Ion Audio.
Hey, Channel 10, I'm here with Greg from Ion Audio, and if you play Rock Band, you've got Rock Band for your Xbox 360, what you really need is a custom Rock Band drum kit. Not just the drum kit that comes with the game. You can actually now upgrade to an Ion Audio custom drum kit. Greg, can you tell us more about the product?
Sure. What we have here is a custom-made Ion Audio drum kit. This drum kit comes with a couple of different cymbals, so you have the choice to actually hit the pad or the cymbal. So, like a real drum kit, you know. It's got a great feel. It's got all the hardware you need. It's ready to go.
That could be you.
That could be me. So yeah. So the downside is that it hasn't actually been released yet, but I'm really looking forward to this because you can not only use it with Rock Band, but you can use it with any of your conventional, you know, MIDI software on the computer, or you can record your own tunes, whatever you want. So so that's my pick of the week.
So is that programmable?
You know, I don't know
if
yet.
If you can plug into something else, like could I check email and be like,
oh yeah,
delete.
I don't see why not. In fact, they actually did. Someone figured out the API mappings for the existing Rock Band kit, so you can actually hook that up to your computer and you can program events against that too.
We're actually thinking about doing the entire completely hacked version of Rock Band for Maker Faire. Don't know if it'll happen.
Yeah, we're probably gonna get sued. But
yeah, we're totally gonna get sued. So some pretty cool stuff. Any idea on price, do you know?
No, they didn't mention that either, so
yeah.
Looking
yeah.
forward to it. But
let's just
else.
Hope there's an expense category
yeah,
for
I think it's work related.
Yeah, totally.
Especially if you're doing email.
Yeah. Could you imagine somebody that gets in at 8 a.m. to check email? It's totally gonna piss off people on the
All right. Yes.
Okay, so my pick of the week. Yeah, so there we go. Greg Dolly did some hardcore stuff. So he ported Quake 3 Arena from C to C++. And not just like a compiler, he then actually converted it from C++ to C++ CLI, meaning it's all, well, 99% of it is actually running on the .NET framework.
Wow.
And it turns out somebody had done some frames per second. It's actually a little bit faster, but there's a couple of reasons why. So it's probably not exactly the best comparison. But you know, fixing over 28,000 compiler errors from going from C, C++, and everything between. But that's awesome.
Oh yeah, that's
so,
really cool.
Fun. So I've been exchanging emails with Greg, mm-hmm. and we're probably gonna have a Coding for Fun article on. Either how he did the migration, or potentially even an extensibility layer for .NET developers.
Nice.
That you know what that means.
J sharp with Quake 3.
J sharp. Seriously, could you imagine? You know, like programming that rocket launcher with public static void main.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yep.
Awkward. So awesome stuff, Greg. And
nice
check
work.
Out his blog. Okay, so we're wrapping up. Now it's time for our favorite segment of the show.
It came from
the internet. And this one's personal. This one's a Microsofty one.
Yeah.
So, what phone service do we use?
I don't even know.
I don't even know what provider we have. It may even be like our own. Who knows?
Who
it could
knows?
Be Live Meeting. Who knows? But they have the same damn hold music. Do you know if there's a way to actually mute that?
Why would you want to, really? I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, so yeah. So this is a YouTube video, and I think this is some folks from WAGED.
After the tone, please state your name, followed by the
conference
sign.
Call. And this is...
Shane Curtis, Jason Wagner.
This is basically what happens every conference call.
Mm-hmm. Please stand by until your call begins.
The comments here are hilarious, too. It's like people from Charlotte are like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm dancing. Love this thing.
Oh,
right. Awkward.
Yes. So.
Yeah. So.
So that's our show.
Yeah. So. Couple things. We don't have a name. Give us a name. Give it a name.
Please.
So send us your show names, tips, flames.
Yep.
Things we can easily mock and jeer.
Yes.
Which is, man, our inbox.
So far we have Jay Sharp and Dan. So anything else we have would be great.
Yeah. So, hey, how's your dating life doing?
Let's.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe we should bring in, like, Dr. Phil. You have a problem, mister. I think that'd be awesome, dude.
Yeah, I heard Brittany's single.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. She got committed today. Did you see that?
Yeah,
yeah, that is awesome. We should have, like, a Brittany watch. We should build, like, a sidebar gadget, a Brittany watch. And it'll just have, like, you know what we could do? You know that emergency thing with the, what do we do for security? The threat level?
The
Brittany threat level. Like, we can have red, orange, yellow.
And that's all the time we have for today. So.
Oh, football. Football predictions. Go for it.
Who's playing? Seriously.
John.
I don't care. I'm sorry.
Yes.
It's not the Gators. That's all I know.
Giants versus... Yeah. Patriots.
So the University of Florida did not make it into the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. Tough
maybe
call.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, I actually expected Gators to win 212 to 15. But,
All right, seriously, drop us an email, bestshow@microsoft.com. Leave us a comment in the comment section. That's it. Thank you very much for watching. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.